Today, I'm going to be speaking to our guests about the importance of listening to young people, especially care leavers. So just to introduce our guests briefly, we've got today with us Anna Willow, who's Children's Services Manager at Brent Care Journeys, Tia, who's experienced care, and we've got Lisa Pascoe, who's Ofsted's Deputy Director for Regulation and Social Care Policy, and Matthew Brazier, who's one of His Majesty's Inspectors and our Specialist Advisor on Looked After Children. Matthew,
tell me about this work, which is new for Ofsted. How did it fit into our work in supported accommodation?
Yeah, of course, Bryony. We were asked maybe 3 years ago now by the Secretary of State to regulate supported accommodation, which is obviously was going to be a really big task. There's around 7,000, a little bit more, young people living in supported accommodation, all different types of accommodation. So it's things like single bed sits, but group living situations, also supported lodgings. So we've been working that for 3 years now, and we'll start inspecting this year as well. We thought it was a really fantastic opportunity to make sure that we spoke to young people, to make sure that we heard from people with lived experience, to make sure that when we do inspect and when we do register providers, that we were focusing on the things that matter most to young people. We've spent a lot of time over the last couple of years working with them, helping us plan the consultation, but also listening to what they think was important for young people. All of the organisations that we worked with have been really helpful in making sure that we've had the voice of lived experience really heard, and it's been really strong throughout the project. And we've worked with Barnardo's, Brent Care Journeys on the project, along with a number of organisations.
So Anna and Tia, just to start with you, I'm sure we all know instinctively why we think it's important to listen to young people, but could you just kick us off by telling us exactly why it's important?
I think what we know in systems is that people with a lot of authority and power traditionally get together in kind of formal surroundings and make decisions that affect children, young people and families' lives all the time. But if we're doing that with insight from people with lived experience, then we're missing so much. We're really missing the richness of what we need to work with. My colleague Tia is an assistant project worker in our team, and I'm working with the insight of her and her colleagues with us is a completely crucial part of what we do. So Tia, do you want to answer that question as well about why you think it's important?
Listening is the easiest thing to do, but actually hearing someone doesn't come as easily to everyone, because as natural human beings, like, we tune into different conversations that probably doesn't relate to us. Like, we're on the bus, we hear everything. We can choose what we want to hear and what we want to respond to. So I feel like in the past, professionals have just listened to just give a reply back to, but not listening to understand and comprehend. I feel like we've bridged the gap between the professionals and the young people. They both can be in the same room together and coexist, whereas beforehand that wasn't a space that ever existed. It was two separate entities, like the people who made the decisions for young people and then the young people who had to just live with these decisions. For a long time, young people in care was accepting bare minimum, but it was just the bare minimum.
Thank you both so much, and I really love, Anna, your reframing of that question around the power dynamic, and Tia, your distinction that you drew between hearing and listening. Lisa and Matthew, I'm sure a lot of that sounds very familiar. Are we hearing anything in addition to that around at Ofsted through mechanisms such as our care leavers survey?
I think we've always tried to do some listening to children and care experienced. I think what we've learned and what we've done differently, and people like Tia have helped us to do, is to do more of that co-producing with children and young people. In our supported accommodation project, it's the first time that we've really worked with young people from the beginning. So rather than coming up with a set of questions we want answers to, we've asked young people to help us. What questions should we be asking you to understand and do things better? And I just think that's been, you know, a great step forward from us. We're probably in a different place than we would have been if we hadn't done it this way and we hadn't had people like Tia help us along that journey.
They've given their views about how we should inspect, what we should focus on. And we haven't always agreed. Sometimes they've said things that we've had to explain that we're not quite able to do that. But you know, some good robust discussions. You know, I think they've appreciated our honesty, and we've certainly appreciated theirs, and it's really made a difference. So what we've ended up with, hopefully, is inspection arrangements that really focus on what makes, you know, matters most for young people.
Yeah, it sounds like such a natural and obvious way to sort of build the model to start with these voices, but also feels quite revolutionary in the way that Ofsted's done it.
It's revolutionary in the way they've helped us to do it, actually, I should say, because I think we've learned from the young people, and as I say, we're really grateful to that, and they've nudged us as we've gone along when they think we're not quite doing it right.
A lot of this work, before you kind of start doing it, planning it or operationalizing it, is about mindset. It's about that kind of humbleness. It's about working in the open. It's about a willingness to say to an external environment, I don't think we got this right before, but we're learning. And we're listening, and we're willing to kind of keep iterating and changing what we do based on what we didn't get right, or based on what we saw be nurtured through what we tried. So that is, you know, our partnership with people model is just kind of our five pillars, which have been very emergent through working with a test and learn approach, and that mindset of just putting, like, tentatively one foot in front of the other, importantly redressing power, like willing to kind of fail fast and stopping when things aren't working. So you are taking risks, but you're taking manageable risks, acceptable risks. But if we don't take those risks, then we feel like nothing will change. I've talked already about power, and we've only been talking for a few minutes, but I'll always talk about power where it's kind of hoarded or hidden or visible or invisible. We work really hard to disrupt and redistribute that. We also think about environments and where we do things and who's most comfortable in the room. For example, environments are crucial. When we want to listen, or we say we're working with the voice and influence of young people, we take them into our professional spaces where we feel in charge. Learning has got kind of two main streams for us. The first is that we learn together. So we learn in an integrated way. We don't send different people off on different learning journeys. We go on the same one because we think that when we're all learners, we're at our most ready and leveled and humbled to accept the things we don't know and the things we can learn from one another. And the other is inverted learning. And that was our kind of very first interaction with Ofsted in this space of regulation change for supported accommodation, was to say, and I'd really like Tia to say a bit more about it if she's happy to. We've developed some learning because in this instance, we think we have the expertise. We have lived experience of living in unregulated accommodation at a stage of life where, if you're lucky, you have a lot more support and guidance and kind of comfort around you. And so we would like to educate you. We would like to be at the front of that classroom, and we would like you guys to be our delegates. And that was the very beginning of our journey. From that, what followed on was educating 40 placement inspectors for Ofsted.
I feel as though other professionals don't want to get things wrong. They don't want to admit it. Once they do, it makes it easier for everyone else. It makes it easier for the young persons. They live a better life, a more fulfilling life with less to worry about. And the professionals feel rewarded. Once the young people feel like they've got something out of it, then the professionals will feel like, well, I'm doing my job great because my young person is very happy. And relationships are always changing. I feel like as you get older, you rely on people less than you would. And I feel like that's also something that's really hard to like swallow and accept, because people like your professionals may think, actually, she needs to see me every single week, and like we need to do all these plans every single week. But actually, people are ever growing. Like, people are starting to find employment and like education. So giving them that space to like grow as well, because it's nothing's worse than like a professional like on your case all the time when you can't do it by yourself. You just want to show that space of like independency. And a lot of young people are also like scared to say something, but they really shouldn't be, because actually these decisions are about them. And I know it's daunting from my own experience, but I wish I'd spoken up earlier. Getting that power back in your hands is very vital in anyone's life, to be honest.
I just wonder whether, Lisa, Matthew, you could say a little bit about what Ofsted has learned from working with Anna's team.
Well, we learned a lot. What I was struck most by was just how gelled as a group, and you're talking about relationships being really important, but the relationships they had with each other was clearly important. They got a lot of support from each other, they trusted each other, and you got the sense that they expected their views to make a difference. They weren't there thinking, oh, they were hopeful or they might be grateful for us to do a couple of small things. I think they were there with the confidence that we were going to go away and do something different as a result of what they told us. But I mean, they also told us a lot about what they thought supported accommodation should look like as well. So some really practical things, you know, about the quality of accommodation, but also about things like, you know, support for emotional well-being and having someone to turn to in times of crisis or in times of worry. So, you know, some real practical things that, you know, some really important things they were telling us that we could take away.
This isn't something you can just do as an add-on. It's something that's got to be integral to your thinking right from day one, because actually it takes time and it takes careful thought, and it might slow you down and it might take you in a route that wasn't the one you were really planning. And you have to be sort of prepared for all of those things and prepared to go with that and think about how you're going to manage that. And for an organisation that can be quite delivery focused, because that's our job, you know, we have a job that we have to do. It's how you balance those two things and get that right is something that, you know, I really want us to reflect on.
So it sounds like the spirit of this partnership is definitely something that needs to live on in across Ofsted in terms of consultation and partnership working. But specifically with this partnership, what's next?
We don't want it to be the end. We haven't started inspecting yet. We'll have more things to learn. We'll want to reflect on, are we doing the things that we set out to do? And we'll need people to reflect on that with us. We can't just reflect on that ourselves. So I'd like to see us work in partnership with the many groups that helped us to get to this point.
I think too often maybe in kind of participatory spaces, we see people say, well, a young person said that was okay. There's some kind of tokenism or lip service paid to this kind of work. But I think that also what Matthew was witnessing was the result of tough love, which is actually like a really open, honest and often challenging space where we don't just necessarily agree with a young person because they're a young person, but we hold one another to account and we're willing to be challenged and to offer fair challenge if we think it's in the best interests of that young person. And the reason that Matthew, I think, people there were talking confidently about this is going to change because I've said it, is because they followed a process, they've done their research, and they've developed a robust evidence base for what they're saying. And they know that that weight is going to see it change.
I feel like legacy is such a scary word to me, because it's like planting seeds in a garden you never get to see, to be honest. You just have to trust that what's left behind will be nurtured. All the plants you really planted will be nurtured and will be taken care of so that the next cohort of care leavers can reap those fruits that we sowed in that garden. You just hope that what's left behind, what we left behind, will still be cultivated and grown, and year after year all those seeds will be replanted, and like new caregivers upcoming, like babies who are just coming into care now, will be 18 in 18 years and still using our work that we have produced. You know, our garden is ever so, it's naturally renewable, because those same seeds will grow back again and come back again. So it's like you only need to plant it once for it to sustain itself forever. So that's what we've done, 5 years in the making, and I'm so excited to see where this goes when I come back in when I'm 25 and I'm not a care leaver anymore.
Tia, I can't think of a more perfect way to finish today's podcast. Thank you so much for those words, and thanks to all of our guests for all of your really insightful comments. We've spoken a huge amount today about listening and getting diverse voices and hearing, as Tia said, diverse voices. Thank you so much, everybody. You may be aware that Ofsted are currently launching our Big Listen. So please do contribute. Please know the values of your own voices and opinions and contribute wherever you can. It's really vital.
Just go to www.gov.uk/Ofsted Big Listen.
Ofsted Talks.
Ofsted Talks.
Ofsted Talks. Ofsted Talks.